Well, good morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to our Tuesday morning worship. We're going to be doing something a little bit unusual today. And as a matter of fact, I might ask you a question before we even begin. When you came to worship this morning, did you know this was going to happen?
No.
Okay, just want to make sure that whoever's watching knows that this has not been primed or prompted in any way. I want you to brace for impact because we'll do our regular prayer requests and pray together in a little bit, but I want to show you something, and I'm going to go ahead and let our media team play this on the screen. We're going to play it completely through, in fairness, to give it context. Then I'm going to back up, and we're going to go through it piece by piece and see if these things are true.
Trying to tell people Jesus is going to come next week, I'm going to ask you to leave because I ain't fooling with your Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, law-abiding nonsense. I ain't messing with it. And let me just go one step further for all these Seventh-day Adventists that watch me for some reason and send me letters. You worshiping the devil because you meet on Sunday. Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus became my Sabbath. And I'm here to tell you, I worship on the first day of the week because of the glory of the resurrection. I am not under the law of the Sabbath. Jesus said there will come a day. It doesn't matter when and it doesn't matter where, but it matters who you will worship. I'm telling you, Saturday worship, as far as the law is concerned, is a demonic doctrine. Shut up and don't come at me with all that nonsense. I got to worship on Saturday because of the law. I'm not under the law, Scipio. I'm under the grace of the resurrected Savior. So his kingdom's going to come, and I don't know when, and I don't know how, and I've changed my theological position on all that pre-trib stuff, okay? And I don't care what you think about that neither. I ain't arguing with it. That's why I don't preach a lot on prophecy. Because for years I preached on it like I knew everything about it, got in the Bible and figured out I didn't know nothing about it except what the Baptist told me. Right? Yo, okay. Am I talking good? His kingdom's coming. His kingdom's coming. His kingdom's coming. Just be ready.
Okay, well, I'd like to address some of the points that he made, in fairness. And you're wondering, maybe, why are you doing this? There's probably some sincere people that hear and sit under this teaching. And the man's name I'd not heard of before. His name is Greg Locke. Someone sent this to me on the internet, and I looked at it and thought, oh. Unfortunately, it may be typical of some of the preaching that's out there and some of the misinformation that's out there about Seventh-day Adventists. And so what I thought I'd do today is, first of all, we're going to get some camera shots of you as a group. For those that are watching, this is a staff worship Tuesday morning at Amazing Facts. We're a Christian media ministry. And let me just ask, so that we can know whether you're a witness or not, how many of you are Seventh-day Adventists? Okay, just so, mouth of two or three witnesses. Let's go ahead and play that again and get ready to stop it when I give you the signal, Devin, who is back in the studio.
Trying to tell people Jesus is going to come next week, I'm going to ask you to leave because I ain't fooling with your Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, law-abiding nonsense. I ain't messing with it. And let me just go one step further for all these Seventh-day Adventists that watch me for some reason and send me letters. You worshiping the devil because you meet on Sunday.
Okay, I asked him to go ahead and stop it. Do we believe that everybody that worships on Sunday is worshiping the devil? Okay, does anyone here believe that? All right, so that is categorically not true. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, but in our teachings it says, notwithstanding the spiritual darkness that may exist in some of these churches, the great body of Christ's true followers are in their fellowship. Meaning, we don't believe that we're the only ones. We think most of the true followers are out there. Okay, so let's make that clear. By the way, don't be surprised by things like this. Jesus said, when you are reviled and falsely accused, people are going to accuse you of things falsely for his sake, and this is an example of that. All right, let's go ahead and play it again here.
Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus became my Sabbath, and I'm here to tell you, I worship on the first day of the week because of the glory of the resurrection.
Okay. Where does the Bible say Jesus became our Sabbath? What? Did you notice that through this whole presentation, not a single chapter or verse is cited? This is typical of a lot of preaching in so-called Christian churches where people rant and share private interpretations and don't ever cite any verses. Now, the Bible does say it'll come to pass that from one Sabbath to another, this is Isaiah 66, verse 23, all flesh will come to worship before me. So even in heaven, we're still going to be worshiping on the Sabbath. And the idea that we are not to be law-abiding was also mentioned. Doesn't Jesus say that if you love me, keep my commandments? And the Bible says, if you say you love him and you do not keep his commandments, you're a liar. And it's not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. And blessed are those, Revelation 22, blessed are those who do his commandments that they might have a right to the tree of life and enter through the gates of the city. I mean, this is a teaching all the way from Genesis to Revelation that sin is a transgression of the law. He came to save us from our law breaking, and the Lord loves it. Those that love me keep my commandments. So that was pretty outrageous, I think. And then he mentions, I think it played, it says he worships the first day of the week because of the resurrection. Well, first of all, what day of the week is this? Tuesday. What do we call when we gather Tuesday? Worship. Do we only worship one day a week? Or do we believe in worshiping God 7 days a week? But the Sabbath is not just about worshiping God. It's about resting from your labor, letting others rest, and a special holy time of worship. And so, yeah, we believe in that. But where does it say that Jesus changed it to the first day of the week? Can we find any commandment anywhere in the Bible that says that God now commands us to worship or to gather and keep the first day as the Sabbath? There is no. Some will say, well, but there was an example in the Bible where the disciples met on the first day of the week. Yes, and it says they met daily. And it tells us in the book of Acts, they were meeting daily. You can also read where it says that the Last Supper was held on a Thursday and Jesus died on a Friday. And those are all important. But nowhere does it say his commandment was an error and he needed to change it from the seventh to another day of the week. Leviticus 23:3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. That means a coming together. That's Old Testament, but they don't believe the Old Testament, so let's do a New Testament. Luke 4:16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue. The word synagogue means the assembly, the gathering. And he's on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read the scriptures. Jesus' custom was to go into the synagogue to gather on the Sabbath day. So this is a Christian teaching. Yet he says that it's of the devil. Let's keep play it again for a moment, or just keep going.
I am not under the law of the Sabbath. Jesus said there will come a day. It doesn't matter when, and it doesn't matter where, but it matters who you will worship.
Let's pause here. It doesn't matter when. Well, if it doesn't matter when, why did God tell us when? It says in Hebrews 4:4, he spoke, this is New Testament, he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from his works. Mark 2:27, Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, and that word man there is anthropos. That's where we get the word anthropology. It means humanity. It doesn't mean Jews. Jesus did not say the Sabbath was for the Jews. He said it's for humanity. When did he first give it? Genesis chapter 2, for the first man and woman. And on the seventh day, God makes them on the sixth day, Adam and Eve. On the seventh day, God ended his work. That's why he said it was made for man. Seventh day, he ended his work. He rested the seventh day from all his work. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it way back in the Garden of Eden for humanity. He makes it holy. And it says we're going to keep it in heaven. And we're supposed to still keep it now if you're a believer. God blessed the seventh day, made it holy. And then the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, this is the fourth commandment. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. These are not the 10 recommendations. 6 days you should labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your cattle or the stranger who was within your gates, meaning even non-Jews. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. It's something that is global in nature. And he rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. This is the day of the Lord. He blessed this day. It's his day. So does he say when? This is a Bible teaching. Okay, let's play it again. You might have to back it up a second because I think I cut into his last thought.
I'm telling you, Saturday worship, as far as the law is concerned, is a demonic doctrine.
Sabbath worship is a demonic doctrine. Jesus said, Matthew 5:19, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Now that phrase there doesn't mean that they're in heaven and they are a low scale. It means that those in heaven refer to that individual who may still be alive on earth as the very lowest kind of person. Those who teach others to break the commandments. You're teaching people to sin. But he goes on to say, whoever does them and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So he's saying teaching the Sabbath truth, which is something Jesus kept. By the way, who gave the Ten Commandments? All things that were made by him, Jesus the Word. This is his idea. This is his teaching. Okay. It's not a demonic doctrine. It is a biblical doctrine. It's a doctrine Jesus taught. By the way, all the disputes that Jesus had about the Sabbath, never did he dispute if it should be kept. It was always a dispute about how it should be kept. And he was showing how to keep it. He never told people, don't keep it. So this is kind of outrageous. All right, keep going.
Shut up and don't come at me with all that nonsense. I got to worship on Saturday because of the law. I'm not under the law, Scipio.
Not under the law, after saying, shut up, Scipio. If it wasn't so sad, it'd be funny. But is that the Spirit of the Lord and Jesus coming through here, or is it anger? And not under the law. Well, don't we believe we are not under the law but under grace? But what does that mean? Let's read what Paul says. You got to read it all. Romans 2:13, for not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers will be justified. The doers of the law. This is the same chapters where you find what he's quoting. So Paul says, Romans 6:15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Now, he's talking about, I'm not under the law. If you stood up in his church and said, praise the Lord, I'm not under the law, I can murder now. Praise the Lord, I'm not under the law. I can kill. I can commit adultery now. I can steal. I can use God's name. They have no problem with the law in reality, except one commandment. The one commandment they want you to forget is the one commandment that begins with the word remember. It's a commandment that God says there's a blessing in it. And it's amazing to me. Okay, let's go a little further.
I'm under the grace of the resurrected Savior.
How many of us believe we're saved by grace, that we're forgiven from our sins because of the grace of God? Do we believe we obey the law to be saved? Friends who are watching this, Seventh-day Adventists do not think we're saved by keeping the Sabbath any more than any other Christian thinks they're saved by not stealing and not committing adultery and the other nine. We just believe, keep all 10.
So his kingdom's going to come, and I don't know when, and I don't know how, and I've changed my theological position on all that pre-trib stuff, okay? And I don't care what you think about that neither. I ain't arguing with it. That's why I don't preach a lot on prophecy.
That's why I don't preach no prophecy. If I remember right, the Bible has in it Zechariah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel, Revelation, the teachings of Jesus, and Jesus called the Old Testament the law and the prophets, and he said, I don't teach no prophecy. Okay.
That's why I don't preach a lot on prophecy. Because for years I preached on it like I knew everything about it, got in the Bible and figured out I didn't know nothing about it except what the Baptist told me.
Now he's being accurate. He's saying, I don't know nothing about it. And that to me is amazing, that people would sit under a pastor that says, I don't preach these things because I don't know nothing about it. Well, friends, if you wonder why there's confusion in Babylon, this is why there's confusion in Babylon. I just thought it was really important for a couple reasons. One, as I said, I hope this YouTube goes far and wide and you'll share it with your friends, because there are a lot of sincere people. They grow up in churches like this. This is what they hear, private interpretations, ranting and raving, an individual's ideas. Paul said, there'll be some who depart from the faith and they're wolves and they're gathering together disciples for themselves. And I won't judge what their motives are, but sometimes they're financial, sometimes it's power, but they are not teaching the word. Not one scripture was given in that rant. The other thing you should notice is that there was a rage here. And if you wonder, how can Christians ever get to the place where they would persecute other Christians? Jesus said, the time is coming, whoever kills you will think he's offering service to God. I see that kind of anger in there. Now, I don't know that any Seventh-day Adventist actually called him and said, you're worshiping the devil. Maybe. But I have met some of these pastors, and they are angry because their members are watching Adventist programs, and they're coming to the pastors and saying, how come we're not keeping the Sabbath? And it exasperates them, and then the rage comes out. And I suspect that may be the case here. Well, friends, I hope it's clear that the reason I'm responding is because this is a sign of the things that are coming. And there's an anger out there. But at the same time, there are people that we want to hear the truth. Amen? Study the Word. If anyone wants to know more about what the Bible says about this, you can go to the Amazing Facts website and look the free Bible lessons explain everything we've just talked about. Thank you very much.